Now taking away any enjoyment of the precious thoughts that we have presented to our hearts, I want to turn to a serious passage also concerning the features of this impeccable Lord Jesus. In another city, Revelation chapter 1. The book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 12. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So far. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. There is an other picture also to what we've had before us. Precious features feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing him as we have been seeing him in our meditations, our Bible reading these past few days. May the Lord keep us from any presumption. As if we would take a familiar attitude to this humble man who walked among men. Let us always remember the distance that there is, in spite of that. He's come near to us. He's condescended. But there is this aspect of his blessed person. 60 years ago now, that John saw him for the last time. But what a tremendous difference. Then he saw him in the humiliation and rejection. Here, majesty. Clothed, he says in verse 13, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. The garments of a prophet, a priest, and a king, all in him. The majesty of his person. It's no wonder that John falls at his feet as dead. And my dear brothers and sisters, let us also have that vision of him. It behoves us in these last days, in days of ruin, that we must remember that 2,000 years of terrible deterioration in the church, in the house of God here on earth, and we are just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It behoves us to be in the dust before him. Let us rejoice in what he is, yes. Let us feast ourselves upon him. But let us also do it in that deep reverence, in that deep humiliation, and recognize how far we are from what we ought to be. Here he stands as the judge, amidst, there it is in verse 30, in midst of the seven candlesticks. And I want just to say some very brief impressions that are upon my heart. These seven features that we find here, these seven words that we must meditate upon. First of all, there in verse 14, we have his head and his hairs mentioned. Then in verse 14, his eyes, the flame of fire. Then in verse 15, his feet, thirdly, like unto fine brass. Then fourthly, in verse 15, his voice is the sound of many waters. Fifthly, in verse 16, his right hand has seven stars. Verse 16 also, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And lastly, seven, in verse 16, his countenance, which is the sun shineth in his strength. Just some brief remarks as to who is that one that stands there in the midst of the seven candlesticks, in our midst, dear brothers and sisters. Here is the perfect one that we've been contemplating. But now, quite different in one sense. His head and his hairs speak of his antiquity, his pre-existence, his holiness. Here is the perfectly holy one who cannot bear to look upon sin, whether in the sinner or in the believer. Even that thought should already make us fear and trembling. He sees you, he sees me. He sees us behind the hymns that we sing. He sees us behind how we behave here, what we really are. What we really are. What we are at home and what we are in our assemblies. What we really are. We can't hide behind it. It's very searching. His perfect holiness. Then his eyes. It says here, his eyes were as a flame of fire. He knows. He has his omniscience. He penetrates. He's got perfect knowledge of every situation. So he's got perfect knowledge of your and my individual circumstances, of the circumstances of the assemblies where we are. He's got perfect knowledge of this. He's got this power to scrutinize and to search each life in his presence. And he is here also tonight. He sees that right down into your and my heart, whether there is reality. It is very easy to sing wonderful hymns and to say praise the Lord and hallelujah, but that is not everything. Then we saw his perfect holiness, his perfect knowledge. Thirdly, in verse 15, his feet like unto fine brass, which speaks of judgment. He is the one who judges perfectly, who sums up the situation, who knows it. Inflexible in his judgment upon sin. And he is in the midst of the church. Then his voice is heard in verse 16. His voice is authoritative. To his voice we must listen, each one of us individually. Are we obedient to that voice? It's not a matter of filling our minds with lots of knowledge that we are here for these few days, but that we might, with that knowledge, we might put it into practice and walk as in the presence of this one, this blessed one, that scrutinizes everything, that sees everything. His voice that directs is the voice of perfect authority. Am I submissive to that in my life of every day? Then there is his right hand. Verse 16, he holds the destiny of the churches in his hand. How sad must his heart be today when he looks at that this church, this building that has become a great house with such a mixture. Yes, indeed. He upholds her. He strengthens her. We are precious in his sight, like we've heard it. We are in his hand. He controls. Does he control your and my life? Day by day. And his mouth. His mouth. A sword come out of his mouth. This sharp and two-edged sword. That can analyze between. Or divide between soul and spirit. The depth of our motives. Why we do things. Why we don't do things. The way we conduct ourselves before our brethren, for others. He knows it all, and the reason why. Nothing is hidden from him. And lastly, there is his countenance, like we sang in that first hymn. And that seems to be the sum total, the glory in his face. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Perfect moral glory of this blessed Lord Jesus. Let us sum it up again. What do we have here? We have perfect holiness. We have perfect knowledge. We have the one who judges perfectly because he knows all the facts. He is the one with the perfect authority when he speaks, to which all must bow. And he has perfect control and discernment. Where are you and I? Are we like John at his feet?